Stop talking. Be quiet, Alice. Our fourth case is number 17-1597, Anderson versus, oh, I'm sorry, it's 17-1041, Nice Systems Limited versus ClickFox, Inc. Mr. Lantier?
Yes, Your Honor, thank you. And may it please the court, Greg Lantier on behalf of the appellant, Nice. The district court's order dismissing the 955 patent's claims is invalid under Section 101 on a motion to dismiss, should be reversed. The 955 patent claims a specific technological improvement to a difficult technological challenge. That challenge is tracking and making meaning out of a user's interactions with the Internet. There are a number of pre-existing solutions that have sought to address that problem, but they have done so in different ways.
In the blue brief, you fault the district court for finding that the claims are directed to the abstract idea of cross-channel customer service. For the benefit of the audience, gathering customer information from one communication channel and using it to engage the customer via another communications channel. But the background of the invention focuses entirely on prior problems facing customer call centers and online support forums. And the summary of the invention basically does the same thing. Why is the specification, including background and summary of the invention, so focused on cross-channel customer service if the claims aren't directed to it?
Your Honor, you're certainly correct that the two paragraphs that are in the background of the invention talk about the need for agents to call center to receive information about what the customer who's calling has done or is doing on the Internet. But I would suggest that that does not suggest that that was the problem in terms of what was what the invention seeks to solve. The remainder of the specification, including, I would submit, the summary, Your Honor, prescribes a specific series of steps that allows the company to track and understand and then make a recommendation about
what... In the blue brief, you say, the claims are directed to methods and systems for monitoring a user's interaction with Internet-based programs or documents, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Doesn't that seem sort of abstract in and of itself?
Your Honor, we submit that that's not an abstract concept because this court has generally found abstract concepts to be one of a mathematical equation, just a pure data processing, or something that's a longstanding practice that predates computers and the Internet. Here, because the preambles of the claim specifically say this is about monitoring a user's interactions with Internet-based programs and documents, and then the claim limitations prescribe specific steps that are specifically directed to that technological problem, we would say that that's not an abstract concept here any more than, for example, the concept of synchronizing.
Is the idea of the concept of customer service or filling in surveys an abstract idea?
The concept of customer service, I would say, is an abstract idea, Your Honor, under the theory that customer service, of course, long predates the advent of computers or the Internet. So I do agree with that. However, the claim limitations of this patent, the specific limitations, are directed not to that final step of transmitting the information that you generate, the recommendation to the call center agent. We acknowledge that that's not inventive to move information and provide it to a call center agent. What is inventive here and what the focus of these claims is on is how do you first selectively extract information from Internet traffic, Internet server traffic, and then the performance of a comparison between a user's Internet interaction session and a modeled session. And the record is clear.
Known before this patent to collect information about Internet usage, right?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I didn't hear the first half of your question.
It was well known before this patent to collect information about a user's Internet navigation history.
It sure was, Your Honor, but it was done in a very different way. And the difference is this. In the prior art systems, we can take Costigan as an example. That's one of the ones that was discussed during the prosecution of the patent at length. What would happen is there would be a program that would go to the user's computer, and if that user stayed on the web page for more than 3 minutes, a human would just start watching.
I'm not asking you to distinguish it over the prior art. I think what I'm interested in is what is unconventional within the scope of these claims, because I don't see that the claims, I understand the model, the comparison of the model idea, we'll put that aside for a moment, but in terms of the collection of the information, what is different about these claims compared to what was well established before in terms of collecting and analyzing information?
Let me point to two aspects to answer your question. One, and we can turn to page 19 of the blue brief where the claims are set forth, if that's helpful.
That's where I came up with asking you the question about customer surveys and filling, customer service and filling in surveys. That's a direct quote from page 18 and 19.
Yes, Your Honor, it is. In terms of addressing Judge Dyke's question, first, please look at the limitation, extracting content from Internet server traffic according to predefined rules. That is unconventional, and it's also counterintuitive.
Wait a second. What's unconventional about it?
It's unconventional because in prior systems, Your Honor, you would take all of the information you could from the user's Internet interaction session, and after the fact, you would determine what pieces of information have significance or relevance to what I should recommend for that customer.
Using predefined rules, right?
No, not using predefined rules, Your Honor. In the prior art systems, there might be a rule that would say, for example, in Costigan, if the user's been on the site 3 minutes, then let's have a human being start watching that user. But there was no prior art in which there was an extraction of content based on predefined rules that are determined in advance, so that you're only taking certain information, even if other information that might be shared by the user during that session might seem very relevant. You're excluding that because you're only taking information from predefined rules.
Are predefined rules web analyzer or modeled sessions, which seem to me to be the only arguably technological components, are they new or non-generic?
The use of predefined rules to extract content is new and non-generic. And I was going to get to the second step that I was hoping to address, which is the automatic comparison by a web analyzer of one or more of the user's Internet interaction sessions to one or more modeled sessions.
How is it new or non-generic?
It's new and non-generic because in all of the prior art systems, Your Honor, what would happen is a human being would have to exercise judgment. You would receive information about... There are two different claim limitations you need to address separately here, Your Honor. For extracting content, there were no systems that extracted content using predefined rules. For the generation of a recommendation, there were predefined rules, but it's a different thing. So the generation of the recommendation step would be you take all of the information that has been received from the website, and then there was one system. This is the Vincent system that's at issue in the prosecution, where there could be a human being who says, I think there's probably a correlation between people who view fishing rods and people who would like to purchase fishing lures. And so they might set a rule that says, if we receive information that says this person is viewing fishing rods and they've been on the site for a little bit of time looking at that, then the call center agent should recommend that the person also look at fishing lures. This is fundamentally different because this technology performs a comparison between the user's interaction session and a model session, so that even if there's no human perceptible pattern that can be extracted from what the user has done, because you're performing a comparison using machine learning-derived modeled sessions and generating your recommendation based on that match, even if a human could never perceive that there's a pattern between somebody who spends 3 seconds per click on the following web pages and then goes back to one web page for a second, but then jumps forward to some other web page. The modeled sessions, because they're machine learning derived big data type constructs, that those modeled sessions, when you perform the comparison, would tell you next thing you should do is recommend that person go look at the fishing lures, because we have ideal session histories aggregated over time that tell us that the closest data match to what this user who you're tracking now is doing based on your predefined rules is this other session where the person ultimately purchased phishing lure. So it's technologically very different. It's also quite narrow in the scheme of the different ways that various companies had previously tried to and effectively done in some contexts track or monitor a user's interactions with internet-based programs and documents. And I think that, Your Honor, one thing we haven't gotten to here is step two specifically of the Ellis analysis, and I did want to address that because I think in this case it raises really an issue of first impression and one that we think is very significant, which is there's no argument being made by ClickFox in its briefing that the specification of the 455 of the 955 patent itself indicates that the technological limitations of the claim were conventional or were well known. What they are doing is going back to what the patent examiner was looking at during prosecution and saying, well, if we put all three of these references together, we can find it.
There's nothing in the specification that suggests that these steps didn't use conventional technology, right?
The specification, Your Honor, does not contain a comparison between prior art methods and the claimed method in that sense. And I would submit that certainly it would be helpful if it did for determining these things. But this is a motion to dismiss. There's no requirement in Section 112 that you include that type of comparison in your specification. And here we do have a record in the prosecution history where it's very clear that the applicant was disputing the conventional nature of the extracting limitation of the comparison limitation, among others. And it's also clear that the patent examiner, of course, ultimately issued the claim after considering the claim as amended against the prior references that are now being relied upon to show that all this technology is conventional. What the district court did is not point to the specification, but rather sort of look at the first word or the first part of the limitation without really getting into what the specific steps are that are required, the specific technique. And then it made just a general finding that nothing's new here. But this is a motion to dismiss, and we don't have a record where the district court could have determined.
Just looking at the 955 patent, is there anything there that shows that the claims are rooted in computer technology?
Your question is whether there's anything in the 955 patent that shows the claims are rooted in computer technology? Yes, of course, Your Honor. There are 65 columns of...
Well, there's computer language, but the claims themselves, are they rooted in computer technology? Are we talking about it? You're step two of the Alice analysis. So are you... Can you show that there's an improvement in computer technology of some kind? Is new technology created?
The answer is yes, Your Honor. And we can just focus on the claim even to show that, because this is a specific method, as the preamble says, it's a specific method for monitoring a user's interactions with internet-based programs or documents.
Yeah, but I think the question is whether the patent shows how that's done in a new way that changes computer functionality. It doesn't do that, does it?
In terms of a specific discussion in the specification, Your Honor, of here's what how the prior art did it and here's how we're going to do it, the patent does not contain that discussion, nor is it required to contain that discussion under Section 112. But I do think... So
we're asking Your Honor, about Alice Step 2.
That's correct, Your Honor, but I believe, Your Honor, even at Alice Step 2, if on a motion to dismiss, the district court is going to make an Alice Step 2
finding. You can look at the patent and see whether it discloses an inventive concept at Step 2, can't you?
I think, Your Honor, sometimes there are many patents where you can look at the patent and the patent will tell you this is not disclosing an inventive concept because, for example, there might be a figure that says this is the prior art, and you can see that all of the components are arranged in the same way. This isn't that case, and there's no contention in this. This is the case where the specification doesn't contain a specific discussion one way or the other It describes in great detail the performance of each of the claim steps, but it doesn't say, by the way, this is how prior art systems works and this is how we're different. But we do have the prosecution history where the applicant was very clear that the prior art systems did not function in the same way and that these claim elements were very unconventional at that time. I have used up my time, Your Honor, I think, answering some of your questions. I would appreciate a little rebuttal if possible.
We'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Mr. Salyers.
Your Honors, may it please the Court. I'm Doug Salyers here on behalf of ClickFox. This Court's 101 jurisprudence has become a common law analysis, as you well know, and basically we look to prior cases to determine whether present patents are invalid. This case squarely fits within the Alice line of cases about a fundamental business practice implemented on a generic computer using generic data gathering steps. The claims of the case don't fit any of the technological improvement cases that Your Honors have found are outside the bounds of the abstract idea because they're not focused on technological improvements. A simple reading of Claim 1 confirms this. Claim 1 represents, as Your Honors have already noted, cross-channel customer service in which you gather information from the Internet and provide that information to a call center agent. That concept, the court below found, readily available in the business world, and he came up with a car dealer analogy that you basically, we used a shoe clerk, he used the car dealer, but it's the same thing. Someone in the sales mode, seeing what someone does, making a mental note. When the person calls back, you try and upsell them to something else. That would read on the language of these claims. And so this content, to try and get around the abstract idea, what I heard from opposing counsel is, well, the preamble recites the Internet. This court has in CyberSource, LendingTree, Ultramerica, all multiple cases found putting something, a business practice on the Internet doesn't qualify or doesn't get you out of the abstract idea problem. The other...
I'm not going to tell you how to argue your case, but I think your opposing counsel more or less said he rises or falls on step one, so might as well just stay there.
Okay.
Unless you think otherwise.
No, I believe step one is enough, although you do still have to do a step two analysis, Your Honor, which we understand. In terms of why step one is abstract, every one of the performed steps can be done by a human. That's the first point that I think indicates the abstractness.
You can look at human? I don't think so.
Your Honor, you could extract content from the Internet, which is basically what he admitted was in the prior art in the Costigan reference. Someone could sit and look at Internet traffic and extract content.
Well, you got to use a computer to check the Internet traffic. You can't do it without it.
I'm sorry, you have to...
You can't check Internet traffic without using a computer.
That's true. A human on a computer can do the activity. And the other thing to think about is the broadness of the claim terms used. Content. Content is not specific content. Content is any content. Content can be all content. It's not unique to the particular website. It's just taking something or everything off of the Internet according to predefined rules. Also another abstract concept. Predefined rules are no rules. You just have a rule in advance, but it doesn't tell you what they are.
To use the used car analogy, someone who goes to I'mLookingForANewCar.com is Internet content.
Yes. Storing and indexing. A human can do that as well, Your Honor. It's writing down on a note card what you see and then index it, put it in Mary Smith's under her name. Then automatically comparing the data to something else. Now, they do have a web analyzer using a processor in this element. However, web analyzer is an amorphous concept, and certainly processor is a generic computer function. They don't proffer a construction for web analyzers being something other than something that analyzes the web. That's an abstract concept. It's not a computer technological improvement. And then finally,
well, opposing counsel argues machine learning, stuff that you would find in self-aware computers, so to speak. I didn't see it in there.
It's not in the spec, Your Honor. And I think the only line in the spec that's important is in column 5, where the word modeled sessions is used. And that's what they've claimed. They've claimed a word, a two-word phrase, modeled session. And the modeled session in the patent is described as simply being the computer. It's generated in a computer. Get my glasses out. Sorry. It's that what is generated in a computer training environment by a computer programmer or trainer. That is the essence of abstractness. You have a human doing the activity. The modeled session is not some artificial intelligence. It's not some fancy schmancy program. It's not software. The modeled session is defined in the spec as generated in a computer training environment by a computer programmer or a trainer. So that is no different than the car salesman who is watching customers come into the car dealership throughout the day, and he notices what various prior customers liked.
It's more, I would say it's more like the supervisor watching and calling his trainee salesperson and saying, hey, you ought to be aware that this person looked at 4 SUVs while they were walking around the lot. When you talk to them, push SUVs.
Yeah, push the SUVs. Yes, exactly, Your Honor. So, and then the final step of providing the recommendation that fits the car dealer analogy to a T. You're basically just taking your note card out and giving it to the phone agent when they call in for a follow-up visit or something. So ultimately, when you think about abstract ideas, this court has routinely looked to the human analogy. Can this be performed by a human? If it is, then it's difficult to get around the abstract idea concept. Counsel made another point about that these claims are, he was asked whether these claims are rooted in computer technology. If you read the spec has the first column, which describes the problem to be solved. The problem to be solved was call center agents don't have access to internet use from customers when they call in. That's the problem that they identify. That problem is an abstract thing that needs to be solved. And they solved it by saying, well, let's give internet information to the call center when they receive a call. So there's no technological improvements here, particularly when you note that this patent was filed in 2011. And to make the claim that in 2011 people don't know how to track data on the internet is a bit absurd. I mean, the internet has been tracking data for a long time.
They admit that tracking data on the internet was well known.
Correct. So what is new about what they're doing? Where in the claim language is there anything new when you have claim language that talks about extracting, associating, storing, and indexing? Those are classic computer terms and certainly classic terms applied to the internet. It's what Google does every day. They're storing and extracting and keeping up with our travels through the internet. Automatically comparing, that's, again, a very broad concept that's not a technologically light bulb moment. Comparing one set of data to another set of data is what computers have done since they were first invented. And then providing a recommendation. I mean, think about that term when you're trying to decide whether it's abstract or not. These are subjective things that people have done forever, recommending various aspects of a sales process, for instance. And the recommendation is being generated by a human. So, again, we can't get outside the bounds of the abstract concept. I would spend a couple of moments on the inventive concept issue because I think it mirrors the abstract idea. When you go to inventive concept, you're trying to look for what's typically the functional language that's in the claim, is it go, does it go beyond function? And this court has multiple times found that functional language without the how, without the details of how the function is performed, and end without the means, are types of claims that don't provide inventive features. And this claim is rife with functionality. That's all that it's claiming. Here's a function. Extract. How do you extract? Predefined rule. That doesn't tell you anything. How do you store an index? You just store it by the name of the user. That doesn't tell you anything technological about how you do it. The bulk of the argument made in the blue brief and the reply brief here is citing things that weren't in the spec and that weren't in the claims. That's not the way you interpret in the 101 world what the claims are directed at nor what their inventive concept is. And at the end of the day, you're to go back to the claim language itself to determine whether there is, in fact, anything inventive that's occurring in these patents. The ordered combination argument was made below. The judge, the point I would like to make there is there was no ordered combination argument made to the judge below. That's an afterthought raised for the first time on appeal. There's other aspects of this appeal that we've objected to because they're relying on evidence, the underlying patents that were not cited in the case below. We think you could, in essence, decide the case on that point. You could find that the evidence they're presenting in this body and the arguments they're presenting in this body weren't raised below, were waived, and therefore they've really got no arguments to make. The last point I'd like to make is about the recitation of the prior art that occurred in opposing counsel's opening argument. What they've done is trying to conflate the two or three prior art references that were talked about in the file history and then generically describe that as the prior art. Say, well, the prior art couldn't figure something out because the Costigan reference couldn't figure something out. That's not the way the analysis proceeds. The examiner, actually, when you read the prosecution history, found all the elements in the prior art save one, the modeled session. So each party relied on that, on the prosecution history to inform the analysis on the 101. But there was no dispute, and indeed counsel has conceded, that tracking stuff on the Internet was a well-known business practice in the prior art, and that's what the prosecution history disclosed. So this patent didn't overcome some technological challenge. It's not directed at some technological problem. It's simply broadly claiming an abstract idea. And on that basis, Your Honor, we think the district court should be affirmed.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Lantier, you've got 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to make 3 points. Point one, Judge Wallach, I don't know what I said during the argument.
That's what you didn't say.
That made you think that we were relying on step one. That's not the case.
When you were asked about step two, I didn't hear anything.
We've said in our brief, and I'll say again now, that the closest analogy to this case is Bascom. It's a step two case where the court said, maybe step one's a close call, but when you look, this is a patent that's...
You agree that step one is a close call here?
I think it's not a close call. The district court got it wrong. These claims aren't about cross-channel customer service. I think the question that was raised by Judge Wallach, well, is monitoring users' interactions on the Internet?
You said it was like Bascom, which was a close call.
That is a that's why I say, Your Honor, I think that this case, if you're looking at one case, I think Bascom is the most important one. And the reason for that is, just like the claim here, the claim there prescribed a means, not the ends. This claim prescribes a specific means for monitoring users' interactions on the Internet. And there's no debate here, because the examiner found it, and they don't contend otherwise, that at least
so
the step...
So when you say that the claims are directed towards a means, the only thing I see in the claims that, in my view, possibly fit that is a predefined rules. But if they're predefined and they're not in the patent... They're not in the written disclosure. We don't know what those rules are.
Your Honor, to make no mistake about this, the specification does provide examples of the predefined rules, including things such as how much time is spent between clicks, what products did the customer view.
But those don't show how it changes the content or how it extracts the content.
I think what happens during the argument made by ClickFox is if you take just the first word of each claim element, then, of course, you can make anything sound like it's old. But when the court sits back and reads the actual limitations here, you will see that they prescribe specific means, and those specific means are what the invention is. They are what makes it unconventional. The second point, Your Honor, is I just want to clear up one small thing about the computer training environment. That's an environment for training computers, not for people being trained to use computers. So we dispute, and the district court didn't find that the modeled sessions would just be something that a human being creates. That's not correct. And finally, on the car dealership analogy, how this claim works is the antithesis of how the car dealer approaches his or her job, because what the car dealer does is customer walks into the showroom, they have a conversation, car dealer takes in it all, goes back to the office and says, what about that interaction is significant? This claim works exactly the opposite way. It says, before anything starts, before we even know if a customer is coming today, let's decide on two or three specific pieces of information we're going to extract to the exclusion of everything else.
Okay.
And
I
then
think,
only
I
take that into
I
account.
Think we're about out of time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lanier. Thank both counsel. That concludes our session.
All rise.